Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ball and Sars carried on, he's run and he's hacked down, and it's going to be a penalty right on the edge of the 6-yard box. He's been hacked down by fielding. Naby Sarr continued his run, and on 66 minutes Charlton have the opportunity to go ahead. A definite penalty for Charlton. Whistle blows, forced to Kasky, it's tame, it's right into the corner, but it's a tame penalty and easily saved by Joseph Wallacott, who guessed the right way and then gave it some to the covered end.
Yeah, there is the full-time whistle. As a reminder, we are going straight to penalties now. Albie Morgan will step up, right-footed for Charlton. Quite a long run up, right to the edge of the box, wait for the referee's whistle. Morgan two steps to his left, drills it, and it's off the post, I think. And it's gone wide. Waits for referee's whistle, blows it. Mikowski to take, takes it and scores. And Forest Green will progress to the next round of the Carabao Cup. A night that just wasn't meant to be for the Addicts.
So disappointment it was in the Carabao Cup for the Addicts, but who cares? We're back to league action on Saturday. Good evening. My name is Louis Mendes. Welcome to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview. Joining me in the studio here at the Valley as we get ready to look ahead to Saturday's trip up to Oakwell to take on Barnsley are Mr. Tom Wallin. How are you doing, Tom?
Yeah, very well, thank you.
Yeah, you're looking well.
Cheers.
Enjoy Forest Green game?
Nope.
It sounded like you didn't.
Yeah, no, I'm glad that's over.
Yeah, and joining the pair of us here at the Valley is Mr. Lewis Cat. How are you doing, Lewis?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. Not too bad.
Yeah, and you missed the Forest Green game.
So I did. That's probably why I'm a bit more chirpy than Tom. Lucky boy.
Exactly. There you go. So on tonight's show, we will have a quick look back at that Forest Green game. Just hear Lee Bowe's reaction to it. Not too happy about it, as I can assure you can imagine. We'll also, before looking ahead to the Barnsley game, we'll find out the latest from Boyer on the Tom Ahmed situation, because that still is yet to be resolved. So Lee Boyer talked about that during his press day today. We'll hear a bit of that. We'll also hear him talking about Callum Harriott, who of course was on trial here during the summer, Tyrone Mings, who's been training with the club over the last few days. Then we're going to hear from Josh Cullen. He of course played a part in Saturday's home win over Stoke. We'll hear from him after that game and looking ahead briefly to Barnsley, and then we'll start to concentrate even more so on the trip to Oakwell. We'll hear from Leon Wobshaw from the Yorkshire Post. He'll let us know a little bit about the Tykes, and then Lee Bowyer again will give us an injury update, let us know what he expects from the game up there at Oakwell on Saturday. So Tuesday night, Carabao Cup, our famous Carabao Cup run, unfortunately has come to an end, Tom, and it did so in spectacular fashion.
Yeah, something like that. It was a dreadful game, absolutely awful. And the problem was that I was really excited coming to the game. I think Lewis spoke about it on Sunday, about the feel-good factor around the club and the fact Bowyer gets people off their seats now and gets people wanting to come back to the Valley. And that's how I felt coming down here on Tuesday night. And also having players in there that had a point to prove, people like Macaulay Bonn and Osher Larger getting a start, Forster Kasky, who's obviously trying to play his way back to fitness, seeing 90 minutes out of Chucks. And I just thought there's players there that want a chance and want an opportunity to prove they deserve to be in the starting 11 for the league games. And I was just so disappointed with the performance. I'm not that disappointed that we went out of the cup, because I think we've got more important things to focus on. But just the nature of the game, it was just a really poor effort from our team. And Bowyer said the same after the game. And yeah, a real shame, because those players have done themselves some harm in terms of ever getting getting places in the league side now, which is obviously going to annoy them as well.
Yeah, I guess 11 changes probably shows how seriously we're taking the competition. Is, you know, we haven't got beyond the second round for I think 4 years, and even that time was when we went on to lose to Palace quite heavily. So, you know, it's not a competition that we've ever really got that far in. At the same time, you know, if we get through to the next round, there's another chance for some of the youngsters or those fringe players to get a few more minutes as well. So even though we've gone out and it's disappointing, at the same time, they're missing out on what could be the minutes that could prove themselves first team, you know, good enough for the first team. So it's a disappointing evening all round in that case.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's a good platform, although maybe, you know, we don't take the cup as seriously as we'd probably like to, I suppose, because we don't have the squad to do that. And it's ideal for these youngsters to get a run around, especially against senior sides. Obviously, last season we had the, I wouldn't call it a luxury because we hated it, but the Checker Trade Trophy is another competition for these youngsters to get some minutes under their belts in a first team environment. So we've lost that now, and obviously now we're out of the Carabao Cup. It only really leaves the FA Cup, and we're coming in the third round. So if we're coming in the third round and we end up drawing a big side, I'm not sure he'd play the youngsters in that. So yeah, the youngsters, they're probably going to miss out on some first team action now. Sounds like they didn't really do themselves any favours. It just echoes last season when we went up to MK and got trounced 3-0, and Boya said the same thing, that they were too off it and they wasn't impressed. I think he said actually the only people that covered themselves in glory were Naby Sarr and Ben Amos, and they're two people in and around the senior side. So it'll be a learning curve for the youngsters. Obviously, a couple of them got a long way to go. I imagine now the midfield's bulked out a bit. I can see Albie leaving on loan potentially to get some experience. I know Boya's mentioned he's got to improve the defensive side of his game and sort of learn that different side of his own game. So I can see him maybe going out on half a season, maybe a season on loan. But, you know, we move on. Obviously, the most important thing this season is staying in the division. And you look at the league table, we're not doing too bad so far.
Yeah, two games in, already on track for 138 points. So I'm on a couple of players that stood out. I think Alfie Doughty in the first half maybe looked reasonably lively, getting down that left-hand side. Jake Forster-Caskey will probably want to forget his evening, culminated in that penalty that just didn't really happen for him. And obviously he's a player who's been out for so long that he needs that fitness. And you know, the more he plays, the better that will be for him. But obviously he sort of had that avenue closed now, so he'll be disappointed.
Yeah, and it was players like him that I was looking at. Jake, I absolutely love him. I was so pleased when we signed him. He obviously had a good season two or three ago. And then since then, he obviously had that injury last year, which, you know, he could do nothing about. And from the sound of things behind the scenes, he's been working so hard to get himself back fit, worked through the summer as soon as he could start running again. But at the moment, he just looks like a shadow of the player that we had. And I'm concerned that I can't see that changing. It's very early days, but he just looks nowhere near good enough at the moment. Obviously, early stages. Then someone like Macaulay Bonn, who has said himself, I'm not ready for championship football. We're playing a League Two side on Tuesday. That's nearer his level. Obviously, if he'd still been with Orient, it would have been the level that he'd be playing this season. He looked okay, but again, I didn't see anything there that was groundbreaking. And with him, I just wonder if it's more his mentality. You know, it's quite humble to admit that you're not ready for the championship, but at the same time, you've got to believe in yourself and you've got to back yourself to perform. And there were a couple of times I saw him just not go for balls or not go for challenges or not back himself to get it. And that was a concern as well. The likes of Naby, I thought, He played well. Amos did well. And then the other players that performed well, like you say, were people like Alfie Doughty, who's never going to be anywhere near the first team side, and rightly so, because he's very early in his development. But he had a really good game. But then even the likes of Lapsley and Morgan, players who you would expect fighting to try and stay at this club, because Boya's already made it clear he thinks Albie should go on loan. And their performances were pretty lacklustre as well. So it was just a disappointing night all round. And like Lewis says, we haven't got something like the Checker Trade really to rely on them for now. So that could be it for some of them for the whole season.
It came down to penalty shootout, of course. The guilty party was Albie Morgan with the penalty that was missed. Obviously, when it mattered, penalty shootout-wise, we won against Doncaster. It's weird that how nervous I felt going into that penalty shootout, and compare it to how I felt going into one against Forest Green in the first round of the Carabao Cup. You just like to just get this over and done with. But it's disappointing for Albie, but yeah, it's not the end of the world. It was just one of those days in the end, and like I say, a disappointed Lee Boya. I spoke to him after the game. Let's hear briefly what he made of Tuesday evening's defeat on penalties to Forest Green Rovers.
Disappointing. Want to win every game, so think the side we had out was strong enough to win. So, in my eyes, we should go and win the game. But too many performances weren't good enough. That's what it boils down to. Too much casualness, not enough urgency. I think there's two people that can hold their hands up and say, do you know what? I've done well tonight, and that's probably Ben and Naby. Apart from that, the rest of them weren't good enough. These are, like I said before, these are good opportunities for people to stake a claim, because like I've said before, there's competition for places, and that's whether you're starting 11 or you're just in on the bench. It's competition, because we've got 20 odd players now and there's only 17, 18 positions, so people are going to miss out. So when you do get opportunities like tonight, you have to grab it, and too many of them didn't do that tonight, so which is disappointing. A lot of youngsters, sloppy, not doing the basics right, so there's a lot of negatives for me today, and but that's football, highs and lows, I guess.
I guess that is obviously the main disappointment, but at the same time there'll be players who were perhaps lacking minutes so far have got at least some into their legs this evening.
Yeah, obviously a positive. Chuck's got 60 minutes into him. Samfield around 80. You can tell he hasn't played much through pre-season. So obviously 90 minutes into Jake, he's out for a year, and you can tell. But 90 minutes into him, which is good. So yeah, pros and cons. But no one got injured, and we came through that okay, so that's important.
Gallagher keeping in for Charlton. He's under a bit of pressure, flicks it on towards Pearce. Little flick forward towards Williams. He's offside. Williams in a bounce here. Collects. Williams. Skies past Allen. No, Williams! Oh. Can Gallagher get on a retrieving ball? He can, but further wide. Gallagher, ball into Cullen. Cullen has got Prattley behind him. Cullen into the pounds area. Cullen still, ball across goal, goes Williams! And there he goes!
Get in there!
There he goes! Opens his account for the Addicts. It's great work on the left hand side by Williams, and then Cullen comes in to win it again. Ball across goal, deflects the way of Jack Sanike, who makes it Charlton 2, Stoke 1.
So welcome back, it's Charlton Live, the big match preview here on your Thursday evening or via the podcast afterwards. Don't forget to hit subscribe in your podcast app to make sure that our show gets downloaded automatically to your phone or your device twice every week. You get Charlton Live, aren't you guys lucky? Right, we did have a message from Phil about Tuesday's game. Hi guys, just got back from wasting a couple of hours of my life on Tuesday night. Awful game with very little quality. The pluses were Naby Sarr and Alfie Doughty. Disappointed with Albie Morgan, who I thought looked out of sorts, which is not surprising as he's seen so many midfielders come in, and Macaulay Bonn, who is nowhere near championship level, no first touch, no pace, and out muscled all night. He needs to go out on loan ASAP, especially if we get Tamer Hemed in. Cheers for your message, Phil. Yeah, I mean, you can see, like, he talks about wasting hours of his life, Lewis. You know, the crowd was quite low on Tuesday night, you know. Make a lot of changes on the pitch. We make a lot of changes in the stands. We change people for empty chairs. can you understand why people just don't get the magic of the Carabao Cup anymore?
Well, I'd probably not seen as a very attractive cup tie, is it?
First ever meeting between Charlton and Forest Green.
Well,
history was
there
made.
Is that.
Yeah,
but I think you'd have got a bit more if it was a bigger club. Yeah,
not many people scrambling for a remake at the moment of that fixture.
No. I mean, I was sort of dreading when I saw it was level. I forgot it was going straight to penalties. I was thinking,
could
no.
You imagine we had to sit through extra time as well. That was a good
night.
Idea not to have extra time. Anyway, right, let's draw a line under that game. Let's remember that we're two and two in the championship and we're smashing it, 138 point season incoming. Although Ray Bates saying that by my calculations, 138 points would have us finishing safely in 15th position in the Premier League. So it would be. I don't know if you get a certain amount of points, I should let you just jump up to the next division. So you get a bit more prize money. Right, let's turn our attention to one thing that's kept us pretty confused over the last 7 days. It was exactly this time last week. We were all buzzing because we were going to announce two signings whilst we were on air, which had never happened before. And it still hasn't happened because we never did. Baram Kyle and Tomer Hemed, they haven't been here long enough for me to learn their names yet, from Brighton. We were expecting to sign definitely one, and if not both of them, last Thursday. And in the end, it was only Baram Kyle who came in on Thursday night, and we're still now waiting for confirmation of Tomer Hemed. It was signed. It sounds like it went right up to the deadline, so the EFL wanted to check whether it actually gone through in time or not. Lee Bowyer was asked for an update today during press day. This is what he had to say.
No, we've not heard anything back. Steve Gannon sent another email across yesterday, just asking for some sort of response. It's been a week now, so I don't know what's taking so long. Maybe anything I'm guessing it is what's going on with Barry and Bolton at the moment. So I'm guessing all their focus is on that. In my eyes, it's wrong, you know, that like, different clubs are in the league as well, and we've got a player that should be here training with us and playing with us, and we're not getting no answer. I don't know why. So all we can do is keep chasing. The kid keeps texting Steve Gannon saying like, what's happening, like, well, have you heard anything, like 2-3 times a day? We're obviously pushing things our end, but we're getting no reply, so I don't know what's going on there. It's wrong. It's the kid's career, and there's two games now he's missed that he could have been involved with us, you know. So it's not good. I understand that other clubs have problems, but we're also part of that league as well, so we should all be treated the same.
You've not given up hope of bringing him to Charlton?
No, we're just hoping that they come back with the right decision. So we ain't giving up hope. We hope that they come to see that everything was done right at our end.
So there we go. Lee Bowyer's update on the potential signing of Tomer Hemed. I mean, what the hell's going on? I mean, how hard is it to work this out? I mean, it must be hugely frustrating for everyone involved, because the player's not being allowed to play. The manager's potentially missing out on a player that could help bulk out the squad when, you know, there's still players coming back to fitness, the likes of an EK. You want bodies in the squad. So, I mean, Tom, how can you possibly justify that it's taken this long?
By being the EFL, who are completely and utterly incompetent at anything. It's no surprise that they're making such a handful of this, but to me it comes down to a simple, did we get the paperwork in or not? They're going to have the paperwork, it's going to be time stamped. How long does that take? 2 seconds? 2 seconds to see? If we tweet something out and you want to know when it's tweeted, you look at the tweet, it's got the time and the date at the bottom. If that's the only issue, which it seems to be, then it'll take them 2 seconds, just go yep or no, because there's a transfer deadline for a reason. It's not, oh, we don't know when it was. If it's something longer, like agreeing personal terms or something like that, then fair enough. But it's the EFL, and they're just completely useless. But as Bowyer says there, you know, it's not just us that are suffering. It's the player as well. He wants to play. It's just confusion. And it's people like Macaulay Bonn who might have to get chucked in because we haven't got that second striker that we want. It's Lyle who's going to have to play longer each game because he's the one we're relying on. So it's not just the team or the club or, you know, us as fans that are being affected. There's so many people involved in this, and it's not a difficult process. Transfer deadlines have been happening for years, and people either go over, get done, or they don't. But taking well over a week to try and sort this out is mad. And Bowyer says, oh, they must be spending all their time with Barry or Bolton. I assume that's tongue in cheek, because You can't tell me there's just one bloke at the... Well, maybe there is, the way it looks. It's just a complete farce. Like we've said it before about the whole Roland thing. I don't understand how a league that has so much prominence in English football can be that incompetent at the one thing they have to do. It's astounding, and it's an absolute disgrace, really. And obviously, when you compare it to what's going on at the likes of Bury and Bolton, this is a minor thing. But it's still something that they should just be dealing with. And, it's just getting ridiculous once again.
Lewis, you share those frustrations. It would help if there was more clarification from the EFL as to what the hold-up is. Now, Richard Corley asked for an update earlier, and basically all they said is it'll be dealt with in due course. I mean, that's not helping anyone. I mean, due course is taking too long.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, the window shut over a week ago, you know, this time last week. The club have said the paperwork was submitted on time, so that shouldn't be an issue. And like Tom said, everything must be timestamped. You know, they must know when that paperwork makes its way back to the FA, back to the EFL, whatever. You must know that it was before the deadline, in which case, just sign it off.
And some of what Bayer said today that ended up in with Ridge with the South London Press was that if they turn around and say no, we're going to take it to an appeal. So they haven't even got beyond that first stage yet, which I don't understand. So they really are wasting people's time if we're going to make the next step onto that. And it must be so horrible for the player. Apparently the player's had a newborn this week, I read somewhere as well. So, I mean, they could probably do without the stress.
Yeah, 100%. And obviously it's affecting his career. He wants playing time. He's obviously got in his mind now that he wants to join Charlton, and he's only becoming on a permanent, and I think it's a brilliant permanent as well. You want to get it over the line. You know, we want him here. He wants to be here. I don't see the difficulty. The EFL must have, you know, they must have some sort of you know, responsibility to get people playing in their leagues playing properly. It's like how they've handled the players at Bolton that have been unpaid. It's just complete farce. And I don't know how it's taking so long. You know, if they're in charge of key decisions for the second most supported league in Europe and they can't seem to do it properly. You know, if you're going to have a league that's so well supported, so well followed, not just in this country, but over Europe and throughout the world, then put someone in charge of it that knows what they're doing, because the EFL clearly don't.
Certainly. It's getting frustrating. In fact, Mendonca and Asda says, do you think Hemed will ever sign, or will he just become a long-standing joke along with Darren Purse and Hayden Mullins? So I've been aware of those long-standing jokes with the other two, but this one's sort of half-signed rather than always just being linked. He also adds, any news on the likelihood of Otsuma joining, or is that a no-go? So the news is that you would have seen on... online today, if you've been paying attention, that Aaron Otsuma has now left Bolton Wanderers. Now, of course, a player that was heavily linked with Charlton throughout the summer, and there was certainly some truth in that. Sounded, you know, and also we remember he basically nearly, he was at the training ground, I think, or came close to signing last January as well. So there's certainly a lot of truth in the rumours that he's linked, and the club was certainly interested with him. Now, where that leaves us now in terms of, is he allowed to sign? We're not entirely sure. We assume because he did put in this application to leave before the transfer window closed, that surely that must mean... I mean, if it's up to the EFL, I mean, we probably won't find out for about 4 years, but it's very confusing. But, you know, also, Tom, is there still space in the squad for him? We've added a few other bodies since that interest was first talked about, but at the same time, it never hurts. I don't know if we've got enough budget left, of course.
Yeah, almost certainly not. But he's a player I would definitely go out and get still. I know we have strengthened, but he's another body that I know we seem to have been after for a while, whether... Bowes and Gallen actually have, or whether it's just fan talk, I don't know, but he's a player that every time I've seen him play, he's looked decent. He's the sort of player in my mind that would slot into the way Bowyer likes to play as well. So for me, if there's budget there and we can get him, then you go and do it. I'd be surprised. I know there's a lot going on at Bolton at the moment, but I'd be surprised if he left if it wasn't possible for him to get another club, because you'd think playing football there is still better than not playing at all. So I'd imagine he can go somewhere, whether that's abroad or whether he can go here, or only to the League One and Two clubs, who I think, can they still do business, or is it just the Premier League?
They can, but only loans. Right. So I'm really not sure how that would work, because he doesn't still play for Bolton now. So it's a real bit of a confusion on that one.
But definitely go and get him if you could, though.
He was certainly, like I say, he was certainly linked with us heavily during the summer, and there was definitely truth behind those rumours. Not quite... signed, but he was certainly linked with us. On a different subject, Vital Charlton has got involved. Kieran emails in saying he was working here at the Valley in the press box on Tuesday. He said it was a great experience, despite the poor game. He said he liked the look of Alfie Doughty. He said he looks pretty decent going forward. He also wants to take this opportunity to welcome Jack and Tyler to Vital Charlton. So there you go. Cheers for your email, Kieran. Well done for putting yourself out there and coming to a game. It's not easy, is it? But I'm glad you enjoyed it as well. Right, another player, or another couple of players, who the future may be of some interest to Charlton fans. Callum Harriott, of course, was training with the club throughout the course of the summer. And Tyrone Mears, a 36-year-old right back, has been training with the club this week. Both of them, future up in the air at the moment. Lee Bay was asked about that today. And first of all, starts with Callum. It's not great news for Callum, unfortunately.
Callum, we've said that we won't be signing him. He just thanked us for letting him come in and train and get fitter. And Tyrone, obviously, he's only been in Monday, Tuesday, so we ain't going to rush that one. We'll see him again today and tomorrow, obviously, and then we'll have a chat the weekend.
You said a week ago that some players could be heading out of the door at Charlton on loan. Have you made any decisions on who's going?
No, not yet. We have to see who's where and what clubs come in and if it suits any of the lads. There's, like I said, there's a lot of clubs ringing up for our younger lads. But we have to look at our squad and if we're going to need them, then they stay. But if it suits us and suits where he goes, then there might be something to done, but that won't be towards the end of the window. Nothing's going to happen in the immediate future.
So there we go. Callum Harriott not getting a deal, unfortunately for Callum. Tyrone Mears, don't know yet, basically, but he's training with us and Bay will have a look. I mean, first of all, with Callum, Lou, the most frustrating footballer of all time, which I think is fair to say. Wingers are, for starters, when you're the player that has to be the creative one, you're not just going to be passing it sideways and doing the simple stuff. So therefore, you're much more liable to try something a bit fancy and for it to not to come off, which is why people get frustrated with wingers as well, and why it would happen more often with Callum. And don't forget, when it does come off, you know, it's great, and that's what creates goals for teams. And we see that with Callum. And Callum, I find him the most frustrating because he's the one who tries the most fancy stuff, and sometimes it doesn't come off. There were times during that pre-season where I was looking at him pulling stuff off, thinking, you know what, he'd be a useful squad member. But Bayou's obviously not gone that way. Are you delighted? Are you disgusted by that decision?
Neither, really. Yeah. I think that it was nice to have him in training pre-season, and if he was going to be happy to settle as a squad player, because I don't think he's as good as what we've got in that starting 11, then fair enough. You know, it's good to have numbers. At the same time, where would he fit in Bowyer's system? I'm not too sure. We've just signed Jonathan Lecco, similar mould player. You know, he's the tricky winger that gets you off your feet. Has he got a little bit more end product than Callum? Maybe, yeah, based on Callum's previous time here and the fact that he's not really had many games.
That's the thing, we've been told Jonathan Lecco doesn't have much end product by fans. I mean, obviously we've only seen one game so far, and he had some and he missed a bit as well, so he will be a similar player, I imagine. But
yeah, it'd be a similar player, and I think that with Callum, he's not played a huge amount of games at his time at Reading either, so he's probably got that little bit of rustiness. Whereas Jonathan Lecco, although not been playing a huge amount in the first team at West Brom, he has been with the 23s and the reserves and has had sort of consistent game time. And I think that, you know, if we do as well take a punt on Ozdemir, then it pushes him even further down the pecking order. So I think maybe that's influenced it a little bit. But I think, you know, I wish Callum well, and I know he'll get a club somewhere because he's a good player. He's capable of doing great things. And it's just about finding the right fit for him and a system that will work. But I wish him all the best.
Now, of course, the right-back situation. We lost Anthony Dicksteel to Middlesbrough in the last week of the transfer window, at least. So we've got Solly there, who we know is dependable, but we need probably a backup. You want two for each position. Tyrone's obviously getting on a bit, but someone that Bowyer knows well. I mean, he'll have a look at him before making any real decision, won't he, of course?
Yeah, I think what we know about Bowyer not just by what he said, but how he's done his transfer business before, is that if we do get him in, he's only getting him in because he's the right player. He's not just taking a punt on him. Again, it will come down to things like wages and our budget. If there was the chance of getting someone of the quality of Odzuma in or Mears, I'd be prepared to take a risk with that right back slot. I think we've got players that could slot in and do okay there in the absence of Solly. But I'm a fan. I'd rather go for the creative or more exciting players. It probably would be a sensible bit of business to get someone in. And like I say, if Boya's only going to do it if he thinks he's suitable and going to be competent enough. So he's doing the right thing. Give him some time. Souls can get through the next few weeks, I'm sure. And then he'll make a decision. If Solly was to get injured, maybe he'll jump a bit quicker. But like I say, we've got people like Deji who could slot in there. And obviously Brendan's done it as well. You're not going to want to play him week in, week out for a few months. But for the odd game, I'm sure he would cope okay. So yeah, let's wait and see, I think.
Yeah, we trust in Boya and Gallen and whatnot when it comes to signings. Right, let's have another quick break here on Charlton Live. When we come back, we're going to hear from Josh Cullen. After that, we're going to turn our attention to Saturday's trip up to Oakwell as we get ready to take on Barnsley.
Tired of ads barging into your favourite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Cullen trying to take his man on. Chip ball back across, Bowers there, Pierce is there, Bowers header, and it's Charlie!
Yes!
Oh, it's
in!
Oh, he's got! Oh, Patrick Barr! You absolute German beauty! Woo! Dreamland! Charlton have scored! With seconds remaining!
We've done it, Tom!
Get in! Come on! What a time to be a hero!
Here at Wembley!
Oh my word! Oh my word!
Charlton Live. That is the good stuff. I do, you guys have no idea how much I listen to that jingle just in my own free time as well. It should be illegal. Yeah, do impressions of Greg going, oh, we've done it, Tel. We've done it. Oh, you, we've done it. We scored a goal. Right. Saturday was just a brilliant afternoon's work here at the Valley against Stoke City. Our first home game back in the Championship. A 3-1 win over the Potters, and it really was just, like I say, a brilliant afternoon. I really enjoyed it. Josh Cullen, of course, returned the day before transfer deadline day last week. We spoke about him coming back. We also heard from him briefly, but now he came to speak to us on Saturday after the game against Stoke. Of course, he played a big part in that third goal. He was the one who took the corner, the set-piece corner routine, where he rolled it into Taylor, who then squared it for Conor Gallagher to get his first goal. So some interesting stuff for him to talk about. He came to speak to us, like I say, in the press conference after the game. First of all, he talks about what it was, how his move back to the Valley sort of came about.
Tuesday morning after training, I was told all summer that they wasn't letting me out on loan, which I was obviously happy with, thinking I would be in and around it at West Ham, but I had a conversation and said I thought I need to be playing, obviously, to continue my development. And Tuesday morning after training, the manager at West Ham spoke to me and said, I think it's best you go out and carry on playing in the Championship and get some more games. So once that happened, there was obviously a few decisions to make, but Wednesday afternoon I had the medical and signed and trained Thursday, Friday, and I was back in.
There were so many loans that were successful last year, like when Christian obviously ended up at Derby. Did that mean that you had other options on top of Charlton in terms of when you were looking at things as to where you could have gone?
Yeah, there was a few other options throughout the summer, and then a couple of options I had to obviously have a think about on Tuesday and Wednesday morning. But I just felt that knowing the manager as well as I do from last season, knowing how he wants his teams to play, which suits me, knowing how he wants me to play, and obviously I felt like I improved under him last season as a player. him obviously being in a similar position to me. So I just felt that it was the right place to come back. I know the place, I know everyone around the place, so to come back as close to the, well, the season already started, so to get back into the swing of things and hit the ground running was the plan. And yes, thankfully that's happened with a good 3 points today.
It's a great sort of thumbs up for what you do that Lee brought you straight back into the side as well. He didn't do that with all the new signings, but you've gone straight back in there because he was saying that, you know, he knows exactly what you're going to bring to the table.
Yeah, I mean, and again, that was another massive factor why I chose to come back to Charlton to work under the manager. He knows what he's going to get from me. I know what he wants me to do and how he wants me to go about my business. So. To come back in and go straight into the team I was delighted with, and delighted to help the lads build on a great result they got last week and get another 3 points.
Do you think with 6 points out of six, have people talked up the challenge of the championship too much or not, or is it way too early days to say that? I mean, you've got 6 points on the board, that's a great start, isn't it?
Yeah, I think we know the championship's a very tough league and we're not going to get carried away, you know, we've won two games out of two. 6 points is going to be nowhere near enough if we start taking our foot off the gas in training and get a bit complacent. We know it's a really tough league and we'll be back in Monday morning and working hard, obviously the cup game Tuesday night, and then working hard and preparing it as we always do to try to go to Barnsley and get another positive result.
How big is it keeping Lyle Taylor? Because obviously there was all the talk about him and Lee spoken about it, but the club did reject bids. You played with him last season, know how good he is. How important is that?
Yeah, massive. I think you see it today. We know he's a key player for the club, for the team. Great player to have around, a great lad. And everyone's delighted he stayed. Now we're just looking forward to having him in the team. With all the other lads and all the new signings and the lads that were here last year, and we're all going to work hard as a group and put everything in for the shirt and see where we go.
With the corner routine, it was apparently an exact replica of what you guys did in training. So, how many times did you kind of practice those in training, that actual routine?
We practiced it about three times yesterday.
Right. Okay.
And that was probably the best of them all.
Right. Okay.
So I think there was a little bit of rain. Just before it, so that made the surface sort of perfect for that type of routine, and I could zip it into Lyle. And obviously, we had the signal, and we caught eyes, and that was it, and we were delighted that it worked.
So does a signal come from Jacko and Marsh because they're the ones that do the?
It's from us.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
okay,
from
right,
us.
Right.
So we'll have to change the signal now because I suppose teams will be looking at what the signal was today, but. I think it's credit to Jacko and Marshy and the manager, how they go about their work and how much they watch your position and how diligently they look at things and see where we might be able to get the edge. And obviously, we had the free kick against Doncaster in the last game here, and then the corner today. So, that's all credit to them, and we just try and put it into practice.
Do you think safety is the sole target this season for the team or not?
Yeah, of course. I think we're not going to get carried away. We know we're a newly promoted side from last season and let's get to that mark as soon as we can and make sure we're safe and then see where we go from there. But listen, we'll, as we did last season, as we always will, we'll go into every game believing we can win it and trying to win the game. So, we'll take it step by step, game by game and hopefully have a successful season.
There we go, Josh Cullen speaking to us after the home win against Stoke last Saturday. Such an important player for us last season, Lewis, and to see him come back and to slot straight back into the team like he'd never been away. And that was a joy to see, wasn't it?
Oh, it was brilliant. I mean, seeing him sign last week made my week, I must say. It was it's a real pleasure to have him back at the club. He's not somebody that, it's not even just his playing ability, just everything about him in terms of a person. We obviously interviewed him at Player of the Year and he had so much time to talk to us and went into real detail.
His head screwed on.
Yeah, exactly. He's a very mature young player and he speaks with, you know, such conviction and everything as well. And he gives you, he shows how much he cares for the club. And we made huge comments last season about how the likes of Josh and Christian Bielik and other loanees were probably the best loanees we'd ever had in terms of how much they cared for the club and how much they really bought into what Charlton's all about. And I think that he still carries that with him now. And for him to come back is it's probably the signing of the summer. Him and Johnny Williams, between the two of them, is just unbelievable business from Bowyer and Cullen. Just highlights the amazing job that they do behind the scenes.
Talks about the work that went into the goal, the set piece goal, the corner against Stoke, and also mentioned, of course, the set piece routine that we scored against Doncaster in the playoff semi final, the one that Billick scored. You remember it was sort of a kind of sort of ran over it, faked, and then came back. So, you know, you talk about how set-piece goals are bonus goals, I think is what Lee Bowyer calls them. And the fact that we've got this level of creativity and just trying something a little bit different just to get more of these bonus goals, I mean, that could be a really useful attribute if we can find different ways to sort of catch out our opponents.
Yeah, and we saw how important set-pieces were last year, not just the amount of penalties that we got, but we scored goals from corners throughout the season. You think back right to the start of the season when Bielik scored that header from a corner away at Southend, and it just kept coming. And it's a legitimate part of the game. I was reading something earlier about the World Cup last year and that goal against Tunisia that Harry Kane scored, and how Southgate had purposefully focused on the fact that teams score from set pieces late on, so focused on that. And we saw them do that throughout that tournament. And the likes of Jacko in particular, and Marsh and Brett, they focus on that sort of stuff. And Bowyer can go off and do the other stuff. But with them really focusing on set pieces and taking the time to properly study the opposition and where those weaknesses are each time, it does mean that each week the set pieces are slightly different, but they're always looking at trying to penetrate the opposition in the best way possible. And the second goal from Chucks, okay, it wasn't a set piece, but it came from a wide ball in and a ball knocked back into the middle of the penalty area. It almost identical. Did Williams mean it? I think he did, but I know that's up for debate. Yeah. But either way, they were both knocks back from the edge of the byline into the middle of the penalty area, and there was a player to stick it away. So I think it's fantastic. As I say, it's a legitimate part of the game. You know, we're not Rory Delap long throwing it in every time. We're looking at exactly how we do it, and it's effective. And we're going to need those goals this year because the opposition are that class above now. So, great to see that only two games in, we're already doing that.
Yeah, hopefully we'll be doing another one this Saturday up at Oakwell, where we're taking on Barnsley, promoted with us as well, of course, from League One last season. They went up in second place behind Luton Town, a team that we beat at home and then lost to away last season. You'll remember just after Christmas, in between Christmas and New Year, we went up there, we're 2-0 down within 20 minutes. Yeah. I mean, it was about 15.
Like two screamers.
Yeah, two very good goals. We got one back through Ben Reeves late on, but we're unable to find a leveller before. I think Chris Solly got sent off right at the end, didn't he? So we're back up there this Saturday, a long trip up to Oakwell. I spoke to Leon Wobshaw from the Yorkshire Post to find out how Barnsley have been faring so far on their return to the Championship.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a bit of a mixed bag, really. I think two games in, they would have taken 3 points from six. Obviously, the opening day, it's always difficult for a Premier League club coming down, isn't it? And, you know, just disrespect going to a place like Oakwell, it's sort of a bit of an introduction for Championship life, really. And they were excellent, Barnsley. They pressed Fulham really well and didn't let them get in any sort of comfort zone. And, it was like I said, a bit of a baptism for Fulham. And there were a lot of new signings for Barnsley. It's been a funny sort of summer, really. They obviously got promoted last season with the best defensive record in the EFL, but they lost three members of the back five who left. The goalkeeper Adam Davis reached the end of his contract. He went to Stoke, and they lost the two centre halves who were probably the standout pair in League One last season. They lost Liam Lindsay, went to Stoke. He had a year left, went for about $2.5 million. And Ethan Pinnock went to he got in the team of the year in League One. He went for $3 million. That was a really, that in particular, were a really big blow for Barnsley. They offered him a contract to the top earner at the club. We turned it down, so they've had to do a lot of investment in the summer, really. They've got a couple of new centre-halves in Mads Anderson and funny name, this Bamboo Diaby. He's come from Belgian football. So they've effectively had to sort of build a new back four, really. But the model at Barnsley is that they won't sign any players over 25. They just won't do it. The owners, the Chinese-American owners, you know, they make great players. We sign young players, And if they don't want to, you know, sign young players to sell them on, basically, you know, to develop their careers, sell them on, get a profit. And it's a model, whether people like it or not, it's going to stick with Barnsley.
Mm.
You know, they won't sign, you know, I think ideally the manager might want to get a couple of experienced ones in, but this is a model they're going to pursue, for better for worse.
Mm.
You know, buy young, sell, and so it's a bit of a funny one. You wonder if they could, in terms of how they're going to do this season. I just think time will tell. It's impossible to make a prediction. Mm. They've obviously got very limited championship experience, but on the flip side of the coin, they're a bit of an unknown quantity, aren't they? So they can maybe catch teams out. So I think after maybe a month, 6 weeks of the season, then we'll really be able to gauge where Barnsley are at.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because both Barnsley and Cheltenham are sort of going in with this tag of being the bookies' favourites to go down. Is that something that's talked a lot up there? Because it seems like something that Cheltenham want to prove wrong, if anything.
Yeah. I mean, obviously Barnsley as well. I mean, they've got a lot of young, hungry players, and there are one or two there who still have the more experienced players, if you like. They've still got one or two, got a little bit of points to prove at this level. They've got Cameron McGinn, who his first season at the club in the relegation season in 17-18, he didn't really get many chances, and he had the second half of the season on loan at Scunthorpe. He had a great season last year, so he's got a point to prove this level. Alex Mowat as well, he came through at Leeds, and there were a lot of big things expected of him. His career sort of fell away a little bit, and he had an excellent last season. He got in the PFA team. And so he's got unfinished business as well. I mean, they certainly won't be short of hunger and desire to do well, but it's just time will tell, really. I mean, it'd be interesting, obviously, from the highs of the first week, had a great result against Fulham. They sort of come crashing down to earth, if you like. I think they lost on Saturday at Sheffield Wednesday. They were well beaten there. It was 2-0, but Wednesday, you know, they've got a lot of experienced championship players, and they're really doing a number on Barnsley. They're trying to play out from the back, Barnsley. And Wednesday just pressed them to death, really. They sort of did what Barnsley did to Fulham, and, you know, did a proper number on them. And obviously that was a blow in a big derby game. And obviously followed it up in midweek with a disappointing result to Carlisle as well. And quite a few of the... he did mix the side around a little bit, but there were still quite a few players who played in the game at Sheffield Wednesday, who played against Carlisle, and you don't want to lose 3-0 at home to a League Two team, do you, really? So that was the first home defeat under Daniel Stendel. He's been there since the summer of 2018.
I was going to say, it was a bit of a shock considering they, like you say, they went all of last season unbeaten at home.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you see Saturday going with Charlton coming to town? Barnsley, do you reckon they'll probably be favourites for this game?
I think it's a very even game. It's a big psychological test, I think, for Barnsley, especially with them being a young side as well. Got a heavy beating in midweek, 3-0 to a League Two side, and even though it's early, it's a big couple of... you look at the games, they've got Charlton at home, Birmingham away, then they've got Luton at home, Wigan away. No disrespect, but, you know, they'll be thinking, you know, maybe we can get, you know, at the start of the season, the sort of games where you can get some points from. And, you know, after the week they've had, one of the probably the toughest that Daniel Stendel's probably had, really. You know, losing a derby 2-0 and being well beaten, and then, you know, losing 3-0 at home. There's a little bit of pressure on, even though, you know, he hasn't actually suffered a league defeat under his watch. There's a little bit of concerns going into this one. It's not been as, you know, smooth as you like. You obviously had all the feel-good factor going into the home game against Luton, but it's just funny how things can change, isn't it? You know, they've had a difficult week, and they'll be anxious to round it off. Certainly with the result, obviously, you know, win would be... The desired effect, but just to get something out of it, I think it's important, you know, after the week that
they've had. So there we go, slightly difficult week then for the Tykes, beaten by Carlisle quite heavily, a League Two side in the Carabao Cup. I'm really not one for looking too much into cup games like that, but they did have a couple of first teamers out at Barnsley. But you look at, you know, lost at Sheffield Wednesday, sounds like they weren't great, but they beat Fulham at home. Their home record is spectacular under Stendhal. It's going to be a tough one, Tom. What would you reckon?
Yeah, it's definitely going to be tough. We're going to have to be so well drilled and so stoic at the back for sure. They've obviously brought in, as we were just talking off air, brought in the likes of Malik Wilkes in the off season as well, and we know how dangerous he can be, having played against him about 8 times last season. It feels like
Marquise's goal in their defeat for Doncaster.
So I wouldn't be surprised to see us look at try and target him in terms of how we defend. But as you say, their home record's very good. But then looking at our performances against them, obviously, as you say, we beat them at home last year, and away it was just 2 stunning goals that beat us that day. They were out of the traps very fast. That first 15 minutes, they blew us away. But then after that, it was a fairly even game from what I remember. So if we can just try and, as we have in the opening 2 games, just try and soak it up, try and suss them out. Maybe we'll need a little bit of luck, like we did against Blackburn and possibly against Stoke as well. But then if we can just slowly grow into the game, it's what I asked Bowyer on Sunday. He said, is that what we're going to need to do this year? Be a bit patient and just suss teams out. And that's what he said his plan is. So I think if we can do that, if we get 20, 25 minutes in and we're still 0-0, then start to exert ourselves a little bit. You know, we've seen we're a good side this year and we can score goals. So I don't think it's a walkover for them by any means.
Yeah, we're so clinical this season as well. I saw a stat that was tweeted by the Second Tier podcast earlier. Fewest shots per game so far in the Championship. Charlton have had 7. I think that per game, and we must be joint top scorers with 5, I think. Yeah. So, yeah, very clinical. No Alex Moat for Barnsley on Saturday, by the sounds of it. Sounds like he could be out for a while, but he's an important player for them. So, a couple of things going in our favour, but of course, you know, going away from home in the Championship is always a difficult ask. Now, Lee Bowyer himself, he was asked to preview the game this afternoon in press day, and he is not expecting an easy ride up there at Oakwell.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. They got a good result at home, first game beating Fulham. I've watched the game, they've done well. They work hard, they're a physical side. Got players that can hurt you. So we have to respect them, because they finished above us last year. So we know they're a good side, that they've spent money in the summer. So it's going to be tough. Every game's going to be tough, you know. But if we go about it the right way and we apply ourselves the right way and compete, because we're definitely going to have to compete with them. If we do that, then hopefully we get the result that we want, and that's a win. We go there and try and win the game. So I believe in the players that I have. They give everything, and we'll see what we come back with on Saturday.
No injuries, no. No fresh injuries, so we are as we was last weekend. We're all good.
Looking ahead to Barnsley, are there any Barnsley players that you've told your players to keep an eye on?
Not yet, but I will be. Obviously, Wilkes, we know him from when he was at Doncaster. Very good player, good left foot. So that's definitely someone we'll have to watch. For sure, the 2 central midfielders are very strong, powerful, and can play. So we'll have to try our hardest to stop them from running the game. But yeah, they've got strengths, they've got weaknesses, same as us. So they're no different. But I'd say Wilkes is definitely a player we have to watch.
There we go, Bowyer mentioning Malik Wilkes, who you picked up on there just a few moments ago, Tom, as one of the Barnsley men to watch. No fresh injury concerns, which is good. We know Berham Kyle is not fit yet. He's not quite ready. Chuck Sonico be an interesting one. Lewis obviously played an hour on Tuesday night, played about his last 20 minutes, didn't he, against Stoke when he came on to score. So you just wonder if he's coming a little bit closer to full fitness. I do reckon he'll have a chance of starting.
I'd say he'd have a chance of it, but I don't.
I mean,
know
tactically,
if he will.
Would you? Is what I'm going to say.
Yeah, I don't think we'll start with him after playing midweek and Saturday. I think they'll be keeping half an eye on the Hemed situation. We want to keep Chucks fit just in case the worst happens. We don't get Hemed and we're left short up top. it also depends on how Barnsley line up. I mean, I think they traditionally line up in a bit of a 4-3-3. So it'll just see how we counteract with that and how we match up. But I think we've got enough to go up there and beat them. I remember this time last year, I felt quite disappointed that we lost, but then I tweeted into Greg and Tell, and they sort of reminded the fact that it was over that Christmas period when we'd...
It's horrible. We were missing someone in midfield. I think Aribo was out injured.
Yeah, we had no Aribo. That midfield, no Josh
was,
Cullen.
Yeah, that midfield was Pratley and Reeves in it, and they never really worked too well together. So, you know, they both had their attributes, but at the time we really were lacking a bit of a midfield. But we did grow into that game. It'd be interesting to see really whether last season's results come into people's minds when you look at a new season with loads of turnover of players. I mean, you were shaking your head with the Anike thing as well, Tom. You wouldn't start him?
No, I don't think so. The only change I could see happening would be if we go to three at the back and maybe bring Naby in. I could see maybe Conor Gallagher or a Johnny Williams drop into the bench, and then either you bring someone like Naby in and play three at the back, or you bring maybe Deji in and sit him alongside Pratley, so you've got two more defensive midfielders. I know it's a bit negative, but I think away from home, especially against a team like Barnsley that are so good, I could see that happening. And if you've got someone like a Gallagher or a Williams and an Anike that can come off the bench, then, you know, if we get to 70, 75 minutes and either we need a goal to get back in the game or it's still level, maybe Boya thinks, do you know what, I'm going to have a go at this at that point. So that'd be the only change I think would happen. But no, I can't see Anike starting for me.
It's interesting, like I say, about being negative as such away from home, but that's the way we set up at Barnsley. It's not negative. It's you're on the back foot a bit, and you expect that. And it worked at Blackburn, as you said. So I mean, could you see that working at Barnsley? It's slightly Barnsley, like us, is the favourites to go down. So you don't really know how much respect you need to give them going into a game. But if it worked at Blackburn, it might be a tactic that Bayer will look to use again, probably more often than not away from home this season.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Obviously, away from home, we're going to have to battle sometimes. We're going to be up against it. And we know Barnsley's, as you've said, their home record is pretty phenomenal, similar to us, really. And they're going to probably go for it because their home form is as important as our home form is for us. We're both sort of favourites for the drop and looking to prove people wrong. So they'll be looking to pick up most of their results at home, and we'll be looking to probably ride out the storm and see if we can get them on the counter away from home. But I have a lot of belief in the boys. I mean, it worked up at Blackburn, and we had a very limited squad when we went up there. So we've got better players in the door now, more attacking players as well, but also, you know, Josh Cullen, the likes who can calm the game down a little bit if we become under pressure. So I think we've got enough to do it. I agree that we probably will sit back a little bit, and as Tom said, they're three at the back. I wouldn't be surprised if he started with that. But it can't be seen as being negative because it worked up at Blackburn. I think we're going to have to rely on that a little bit more this season than we did last. Just to grind out the results and get a few points here and there away from home, and then the attacking business resumes when we're here at the Valley.
And simply, of course, talking about the momentum we've got from those winning those first two games, which perhaps no one really expected us. Certainly no one expected us to go to Blackburn and win. After that, people's tails were up a little bit for the home game with Stoke. But you can't rule out what momentum can do to a side. If you go there with more confidence, you have a confident Johnny Williams or a confident Lyle Taylor, they can do something a lot more than one of those two players when they're perhaps not on the best of form. And just that momentum, it really could be quite important on Saturday.
Yeah, definitely. And you take someone like Lyle Taylor, obviously, he comes into the season, it's a higher division, it's a division he's never tested himself at before. He gets a bit of a lucky flicked goal in that first game, goes on and scores a comfortable goal in the second game, despite the week he'd had and the transfer speculation. So he's up and running. He's got two in two already. Someone like Johnny Williams obviously got an assist in the first one, claiming an assist in the second game as well. He's looked brilliant so far this season, and all he needs is a goal to really complete the perfect start to his season. He's starting to get a run of games together, which, as I said in comms on Saturday, just hasn't had much chance to do. It is exciting. We've got a really exciting front line. And yes, we're still favourites to go down. And yes, it's still going to be a very difficult season. But these are players that are playing well at the moment. So even if we go in with slightly more defensive-minded formation, that doesn't mean that the players are any less confident. I just go into every weekend now looking forward to the games, which, as Lewis said on Sunday, a lot of that credit has to go to Boya.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? The favourite to go down, Tagg. Mm-hmm. People always say, oh, you need 50 points in the Championship. But then statistically, if you look over the last few seasons, I think you're looking 45.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Would almost certainly be enough to keep you in this league. And the I don't think we are actually favourites to go down as well. I checked the other day now, I think we're about third favourites, which helps as well. But just to be interesting to see how long we stick with that Tagg, especially if this good start continues. You know, I mean, we get a result up at Barnsley Saturday. We're here at home against Forest on Wednesday evening as well. We could really make the most of a good start. Hopefully that will be the case. I mean, what do you reckon, prediction wise, Tom? Put you on the spot right now. How do you see it going for the Addicts?
I'd happily take a point. I think there'll be goals, so I'm going to say 2-2.
Yeah, Lewis, yeah. How are you seeing it going?
I'm going to go 2-1 Charlton.
Lovely stuff. That's exactly how it's going to go.
I'd rather have that.
Yeah, excellent stuff. Well, let's hope that Lewis is right and Tom once again is wrong on his predictions.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. Right, we're coming to the end of this evening's show. Hope you've enjoyed listening to it. Don't forget, Charlton Live will be back here on Sunday evening as we look back at whatever happens up at Barnsley. I hope you'll be able to join us then. Don't forget, if you're listening via podcast as well, hit that subscribe button. Make sure we get downloaded to your podcast feed automatically twice a week, the Big Match Preview and the Sunday show. Right, Tom and Lewis, thanks for coming in.
Cheers, mate.
You're welcome, mate.
I am Louis Mendez. I hope you've enjoyed listening to Charlton Life. We'll be back here on Sunday evening. Let's hope we'll be talking about yet another 3 points for them Charlton boys.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.